significant.
Yeah, yeah, memorable,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, in the life of Project Retreat for that year, and we've done this for the past few years. And this year we decided to bring our wives, these lovely yeah. ladies, to join us and give a female perspective, because maybe they're different than ours.
But so, they probably are.
Probably. There was a lot of disc golf and board games when we did ours. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to jump right in and start kind of going through this. And we kind of all kind of have in our own way kind of our top five list. We thought we would do that this year and kind of count down and to things that we found significant. Mm. And I'll just go ahead and start first, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So I had my number five. This is something that is brand new to us this year. I put church plant / replant. And we had back in June, our good friend James Mitchell from Duncan, Oklahoma, came here and shared with us. And for the first time in our 8 years at Retreat, we contributed to a church plant, a brand new church plant. And so they kicked off their church, Harvest Church in Duncan, Oklahoma, started in November. And we were part of that, you know, financially, through prayers, through just kind of hopefully a little bit of guidance on how to plant a church. And so that was significant to me because this is Retreat, it's the second church that I've been a part of as a church plant. And so I've loved being able to walk alongside of James and be there for him. Mm-hmm. And also included Replant because I thought of Crossroads Ministries, the church that meeting over at the Hope Center right now. And we'll get to the Hope Center, I'm sure, a bit in just a few moments. But when we purchased the Hope Center and we opened it up, we were contacted by a local congregation in Kernersville that had been meeting for a few years, but they had kind of been renting a really small place and kind of a storefront, we'll call it that. Mm-hmm. And so they said, hey, what are you doing with your sanctuary on Sunday mornings? And I was like, nothing. And so they claimed it. They were like, can we please use it? And so they do. They Crossroads Ministries in Kernersville has been using it on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and even Wednesday nights for Bible study. So they've started, I guess, the first Sunday in September doing that. And Pastor Roger Bailey, I talk to him every couple of weeks, and he gives me these updates, and they are as happy as they can be over there. And they've actually doubled the size of their church since they've been meeting over there.
I didn't know that.
And they've had multiple baptisms. They're having people come to know the Lord. It's an incredible, incredible ministry that's happening at the Hope Center. And so for me, I had that as my number five top thing, is being involved in a first-time church plant and a replant, you know, from one location to another. Thoughts on that?
And I would even say, I mean, they've really gotten all on board with even the mission of the Hope Center also.
Yeah.
I mean, they're every time I've been there to help out with the food and clothing giveaways, you know, there's a couple folks from their church who, like, they've just own the food pantry part. They and it runs really well. So, like, there's always someone from their church who's helping out there at the Hope Center, which has been really cool to see also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Ladies, any thoughts?
No, I mean, I love the whole idea of churches helping other churches and churches coming together. So I think that's a great example of that.
Okay. Yeah. Super.
Yeah, I was just going to add, you know, I think in just this season when there's been so much division, it's nice to see like, oh, actually, hey, we can come together and let's work together for something. So that feels really good.
Yeah. And from my own background, you know, being now this was my 25th year in full-time ministry and working at a couple of different denominational churches and just being a pastor for so long, I know how territorial churches are, let's face it, and denominations especially. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get the different denominations to work together. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is, you know, we have us who's non-denominational. We have Harvest Church in Oklahoma, which does have a denomination. You have Crossroads, who's different than all of us, but collectively we're all working together because we have that kingdom mindset. Yeah. It's not about, well, this is my corner of the kingdom. We'll focus on this. You focus on yours.
Yeah.
I think our DNA here at Retreat is very interdenominational versus non-denominational.
I think that's a really good, because I mean, I remember the early conversations you and I had about what could this, before we even had a name, what could this thing look like, and part of the original vision was it would be very collaborative with other churches. You know, that you know, the whole idea of like not reinventing the wheel. Like, we would love for other churches to assist us in things we're doing, assist other churches. And I mean, even, you know, the Hope Center is still very in its youth stages, but I mean, you've got Crossroads Church, Renolda's been helping out with some stuff, and I know you've been speaking at, you know, other churches. So even in its infancy, the Hope Center has been very much a catalyst for collaboration with a lot of other churches in the area, which has been really fun to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my number five. Number four, I wrote down Recon. We did not get a chance to have Recon in 2020 due to COVID. Recon is our big board gaming extravaganza that we do here most of the time, twice a year. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to have Recon after about an 18-month hiatus. We had Recon. We did it over Memorial Day weekend. We did it all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and all day Monday. It was our biggest Recon yet. We had over 300 people here every day playing games and just being a part of this. And I just love the outreach of Recon. The, mm-hmm. the folks that come here that maybe would never step foot into a church any other time, but they come here communal, they play games, they ask about the church. And through Recon, we've gotten folks that have helped out with the Hope Center and the mm-hmm. food pantry. We've had people that's contributed to mission trips. We've had people that have contributed to Abro, obviously. Mm-hmm. And even some of them even become part of our congregation and started attending here because of Recon. But I had Recon as my number four just because we didn't have it last year. Mm-hmm. It was so good to have it back this year and to have our biggest and best. I mean, not just the most people here, we raised the most money we've ever raised before for Abro. It was just a great, great weekend.
I still think one of the things I love about Re3 is when you think about our most impactful outreaches in this community, it's still board games and disc golf. And I love that. I love that you know, we're so out of the box thinking and that the Lord can use what's already here to bring his kingdom. I think that's very, very unique in our DNA.
Yeah.
Recon was also on my list, so that was the same thing. I was just really...
Who's it ranked at, Beth? Let's we want to know exact rankings.
Well, I think mine was ranked... it was number four.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so Recon was number four for me, too.
for those of you who didn't know, but before this started, there was a little bit of a contest, like who would have the most unique list with the less overlap, so...
Mm. We should make this a board game.
It's not looking very good for me. But go ahead.
It's a competition.
Yes.
yes. But I loved Recon. I love the way that all the different ages mm-hmm. and different people get together. And so we've been able to bring our youngest to our oldest child. And then grandparents come. People who don't play board games, people who are obsessed with board games come. And so I've liked that aspect. And I've liked just getting to know people. And it's been really cool, too, because... we have people that travel a long mm-hmm. distance to come to Recon.
Other states, yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's one, and the other thing that I like about it is it truly is an outreach because a lot of, as I've learned about the board game community, I'm not an expert like Mike is, but, or especially like Luke is, who puts a lot of this together.
Yes. Yeah.
But a lot of these events charge. And so this is one of the few places that you can come and play the games and do everything for free. And anything that we do charge for is just like snacks or what have you. And all of that goes right back into missions, which I think is really, really cool. And it's also fun to see Luke and Doug and different friends of ours who get really invested and get so many donations. And so you can win things. And it's just, it's really a lot of fun. And I just like the idea, I think, after the hard times of COVID, of coming together, sometimes just for no other purpose than to have fun. And I think that's a really cool thing.
I want to tack on to the Recon thing, too. And I've never, actually, I came to Recon like one time. But the thing that I love about Recon is I have found out that my neighbors would come up here and play games, and they had a great time, and so much so they made some connections, and I think some of our neighborhood kids went on the mission trip this summer, and so I just love how it is just like an inviting place, like come hang out, and then you can find out about other opportunities, and I just love that it was a place where my neighbors could kind of come and get connected.
All right, so we go. Recon number four. Number three, I had down our youth mission trip.
What
was that?
Youth is like, that's number three on my
list.
You
had youth in
too.
General?
Well, I had kind of two youth things. So the mission trip was number two for me, but I had another youth thing that was number three. So.
All right, we'll just save it. We'll get to it.
Let
me just hit, we'll hit the youth mission trip then, and we'll live in suspense to see what Ben thought for the other one. But, you know, we were doing on average five or six mission trips a year until COVID. And we would go, you know, domestically, nationally, internationally. We'd go all over the place. And then COVID kind of brought all that to a halt. You know, our own missionaries that we support aren't able to take people right now, you know, due to just borders being closed, and just everything going on. But we were able to squeeze in a youth mission trip this year, and we were able to work with Group Work Camps, who group mission trips, who I've worked with for over 20 years. So we went and spent some time. Gilbert, South Carolina is where we went, just doing home repairs. But it was an incredible trip. It was a very hard trip. It was very hard emotionally, I think, on all the youth and adults who were there, because for a lot of them, it was their first time doing something with people in 2 years, just because of COVID and everything. And so there was a lot of emotion there at the camp, just kind of working through the anxieties of can we even do this? To by the end of the week, it was just a beautiful, beautiful sight. We probably had 60 homes that were repaired that week. Wow. We had 250, 300 campers who were there, and our youth just bonded and had such a beautiful time, and it was good for all of us. And it was definitely one of those things where I felt the beginning of the week didn't reflect the end of the week. The beginning of the week was very hard, but by the end of the week, it was the end justified the means. Mm-hmm. It was tough to get through. We got through it, and by the end of the week, it was like I wouldn't trade it for anything. And so I have that as my number three thing. I was just really proud of our youth and adults and all the youth that came from all over the country to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the youth mission trip made it for me because, for our kids, they had been home out of school, not even going into a school building for a year. They had developed, I hate to even say it's like social anxiety or anything, but kids had forgotten how to all of us had been conditioned, like being in a larger group was hard. These teens had not left their home in months, like they'd just been with their family, and they had not, some of them had never even been on a mission trip before. So you have that as well. So you have all these factors coming together of like teens that had been learning at home, living in their house, never leaving their house. You had all the stress from the COVID pandemic and just all the unrest and everything that was going on in the world. And then we were bringing this group. We had a lot of people that it was their first mission trip, and we had some people that were brave that really had never even done anything with our youth group before that we had met through disc golf and through recon, the board games, and they decided to come. And the work camp itself was pretty amazing, but to the hard parts, they'd had to change the location of the work camp. We'd had all these hiccups behind the scenes that had happened before we got there. And we were also the first camp that Group Work Camps was having that summer. And so we'd all missed mission so much, but we didn't know what anything would be like, because you didn't know how masks would work. You didn't know how social distancing would work. There were just so many factors on top of everything else. And I think by the end of the week, just seeing like all the emotions, especially towards the end after one of our worship services, just like the growth in our kids, the love that our youth were showing for one another, their willingness to be open and vulnerable. It was just really, really amazing. And then on top of that, the benefit of being able to see them go out and serve and really stretch themselves and do some amazing things in that community and change lives of the people whose homes they worked on and growing together as a youth group. It was just a really, really powerful experience. But I would emphasize it was hard. And I think that's the other thing for me, kind of like lessons, like so many things are even harder now because of like the pandemic and everything that's happened, but they're also so much more rewarding. And I think that was the thing I had missed serving like that so much, to finally be able to do it was really, really powerful to finally be in that community and be able to serve. It was really amazing.
Yeah. And those, and I didn't think about it right now. This camp was supposed to have happened in 2020. Mm-hmm. So you had residents that needed immediate home repairs that was planned in 2019. They thought they were going to get it in 2020. They had to wait till 2021.
Wow.
So here they are with this anticipation of hopefully getting, a new wheelchair ramp put on their house so they could get out of the house.
Yeah.
windows, siding, whatever it was, you know, and having to wait that extra time for them, I'm sure was also caused a lot of anxiety, worry, and would they really get it done?
Yeah, man. I know I missed going this past year. I'm hoping I can go next year.
All right, we're going to hold you to it.
Please do.
Bring Wendy, too. Put you on the spot, Wendy.
I was saying, Wendy's like, I don't know.
You heard it here first. Wendy is going to work camp.
All right, my number two, and it kind of springboards on something you just said, and this is one that for me is, I'll just tell you what I wrote now. I can't explain it. I put back to our roots. When Re3 first started, we started out as a mission organization. We slowly evolved into a church plant. And so I would describe us for many years as a mission organization with some church-like characteristics. Mm-hmm. And we have worship services on Sundays. We have youth group meetings, children's ministry. So there's definitely the Re3 component that is church. But at our core, we've always been about serving. We've been about living out Isaiah 58, you know, doing a fast that God recognizes as truly being fasting, you know, the giving. And so we've been able to do that. 2020 threw such a monkey wrench into things. Like I said, everything ground to a halt as far as serving and what we're able to do. This year, I felt like we were able to get back to our roots again. We were able to get back to serving, which made the youth mission trip that much more impactful, which made things like the Hope Center that much more impactful because we got back to why we feel like we are who we are at Project Re3, you know, restore, rebuild, and renovate. Like, that's what we're called to do. And so for me, that was number two on my list was I kind of felt like we got back to who we are, you know, to roll up our sleeves and serve. And not every church is equipped to do that. And we're not equipped to do what a lot of other churches can do really well. But what we can do is what we've been good at is tapping into that heartbeat of, where do we need to be the hands and feet of Christ? Let's roll up our sleeves and go do that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this year we were able to kind of get back to that after having a year off due to the pandemic. You know, help kind of recalibrate us a little bit. Mm. But thoughts on that?
That was actually really similar to what I had on number five. I had put it as a return to some normalcy, but I didn't mean just normalcy in the sense of the world, but for us and kind of our vision. But I'd also listed some things, because I think the service has been such a huge part, to your point, of who we are. So being able to go on a mission trip, having the Hope Center, and being able to really do those things together, like the few times when I've been able to go and serve with people, it's always the most amazing feeling because you see a different side of people than you normally do just sitting in church and worship. You learn about different strengths people have. You really, I feel like, get to see the body of Christ come together because it's so much fun for me to see the person who will be like, well, I'm not really good at writing or speaking, but I'm really good at doing these behind the scenes things, or somebody else who's really good with people. And so you use all those different gifts when you get to serve together. So I love that. But also because the world started to open up again, we got to have some things like our Fall Fest, which was also another outreach where we just provided dinner and games and things for kids and did our trunk or treat, and people got to dress up and use their imagination and have fun. And we got to have some Bible studies and even little things like consistent in-person worship, you know, which isn't just the serving part, but it's the coming together as a community and like our Christmas Eve service, just all those things for me. I think just being able to be in person as a body together and spend time together and serve together, I think that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And I think to go off what Beth was saying, you know, because I was thinking something really similar of, you know, I think when we started, you know, a lot of it was international missions, and a lot of it was, or even like the youth trips were going to different states, and which is all great and it's all kingdom stuff, but it's really easy to go somewhere and then come home, you know. But I feel like, you know, it was a return to our roots, but in almost way, it almost feels like almost a, you know, we've returned to our roots, but it's also a maturity because it's a lot harder to serve in the community that you live in. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder. Because you can't just step away from that. You're in the place where you live, and you're serving the people that are in the same community as you, and you're serving your neighbors. And I feel like, you know, it has been a return to our original vision and our roots. But But I think we're doing it much better, and I think we're approaching it in a more mature way. And, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to see how we're going to go moving forward in the next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to give my number one, but I'm not even going to get into discussion because I feel like we're going to spend a whole lot of time on it. My number one was the Hope Center.
Yeah,
mine too.
So we'll circle back to that. It could be its whole, other talk show, where we can discuss it. But I'll just say Hope Center. We'll move on to you guys, and then we'll circle back to Hope Center, and we'll kind of break down some highlights for that. But my number one was the Hope Center out of my top five. So top five again, number five, church plant, replant. Number four, recon. Number three, youth mission trip. Number two, getting back to our roots. Number one, Hope Center. All right, Beth, what you got?
So mine was very similar. My number five was that return to normalcy, mm-hmm. kind of like getting back to the roots kind of thing. Number four was recon, mm-hmm. which we discussed. Number two was the youth mission trip. Number one was the Hope Center. The only one I had on the list that no one else would have, because I was the only one that went, but was we did a youth trip outing to the mountains. And I think for me, part of this is a little bit just where my focus is right now, having Joshua, who's for the first time in our youth group. He's our youngest, but I have all three of my children. This will be the only year that all three of my kids are in our youth group. So Jacob's a senior, Maria's a junior, and Josh is a sixth grader. And so just seeing that the impact that the youth ministry has had on them and watching them mature, but also just for them to have that, because again, looking back to the isolation of last year, and particularly, I just feel such a burden for teenagers, mm-hmm. and everything that these middle schoolers and high schoolers went through with the pandemic, because I've even said, I know it was super hard on adults and it's super hard on different demographics, but we still had some adult things that were open to us, and could drive places and do things. And I feel like that our teens really, really suffered so much. They had so much that was taken from them, and they were such an important part of their emotional and spiritual and intellectual development. And it's been really crazy, because I remind myself there's some things that my kids are experiencing now, and I think they really should have been experiencing those things 2 years ago. So like, especially socially, I feel like everything was almost delayed. And so the reason that's important is we took the youth just on this day trip to the mountains, and we did this little alpine coaster, which was terrifying for me. and I screamed the whole time. But our youth all brought friends. It was such a big group for us. We had almost all of our youth were able to go. We had all these friends with us, and we just went and we walked around this little mountain town. We had coffee, we ate candy, we shot basketball, we threw football, we shopped for Christmas presents, we rode the coaster, and it was just so nice to just be, I think, for a little while, so normal. But the best part of it was like, in the car ride, which normally I hate, just because I'm not good at I just want to teleport places and just be there and get into the excitement of it. But having those kids in the car with me and like the things that they told me about the struggles that they've had, and just opening up, mm-hmm. and just hearing about how hard it's been for them, but also seeing these glimpses of hope and healing. It was a really, really beautiful, impactful thing for me. And it was really healing. I think even for me to look at some of these kids and think, despite, the school violence, despite the unrest in our society, despite the mental health issues, that there is a lot of resiliency. And we have to do our part and continue to pour into one another to make sure that we give them the right atmosphere so they can be resilient. And so it was just a great reminder for me. Yeah. And then, of course, number one, the Hope Center, which we'll talk about too.
You guys want to dive into y'all's?
Yeah, I'll just jump in, because my overall highlight from the year has really been relationships and being able just to go deeper with friends here at church and making new friends. And, I think about how we had a couple of ladies' events, and we were kind of like those awkward teenagers, like trying to remember, like, how do I be social again? Is it okay if I sit next to you? And, but just to be able to get together with the women and laugh, and just celebrate. I remember this past year, Lauren Stroop bought a house, and so it was just really fun to celebrate with her. And Melissa Edwards published her first coloring book, and she's just releasing so much hope and light into the world through that. Gail really shone bright with her little library that she started at the Hope Center. And so just like celebrating with these friends, getting deeper relationships, and even, you know, VBS, I keep talking about it because everybody that poured into VBS, like, it was amazing. It was awesome. And so there were kids there that heard about the love of Jesus for the very first time. And that just really ministered my heart because, you know, I think it's probably still true that most people that come to know the Lord come to know him when they're little. And I'm just so grateful that we had that opportunity. So thank you to everybody that poured into that. So those were some of my highlights of just really like growing those relationships. One other thing was just getting together for those Bible studies and leaning into the Lord together, because this was still a hard year. This was still really hard. And just being able to like seek the Lord together and grow in him, it was so good.
Well, I think for me, I know this is a very recent one, the Christmas Eve service, because we didn't get to do that last year. You know, we had our little mini outbreak in the church, so we kind of had to shut everything down. But I think for me, and I've been thinking about this for a while, because, I mean, obviously right now the world still feels very chaotic in a lot of ways. And honestly, even, you know, in our, you know, at home and personal, you know, there's a lot of things going on, you know, with Wendy and I just in our own lives that feel very chaotic. And so, you know, in a time in our lives where just life in general seems chaotic, I'm reminded of a very ancient purpose that the church has always held, and that's to bring order to chaos. You know, that's what the church has done for hundreds and thousands of years through more turbulent times than this, but has brought order. And just being able to come, you know, and resume a tradition that has been in the fabric of Re3 since its start, and that's our Christmas Eve midnight service, and to come and to light the candles and to observe Advent and to say the communion and to come out in the parking lot and sing Joy to the World. It just felt really good to be back to that. Mm-hmm. And to see it brought people back that we hadn't seen in a while because they wanted to be a part of that tradition, you know. And it was a really special time, and I think it went really well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my other thing was the Hope Center also, you know, and I'm sure, you know, we'll talk some more about that. But I mean, you know, there's the boring parts of the backstory of the Hope Center about how we even got the building. That honestly, you could probably write a book about that, about just the finances and how it all worked out that we could even do it in the first place. But I mean, there's so many things that the Lord is doing through the Hope Center and in the Hope Center to bring together churches and Christians and to bring together people who need help. But like, I keep going back to this, but I just think it's so cool. I mean, I can think of two times that I've been serving at the Hope Center when people have come into the Hope Center and they have had a specific need, they've had a specific ask, and we didn't have it. But while they were still there, someone would walk in the door with the very specific thing they asked for. Whether it was a food or whether it was a certain size of clothing, like to that level of specificity. You know, while they were still there, they asked for it. We did not have it. Someone would walk in the door with it, which I think is just, it's such a testament to like God's love and him seeing the small things and the things that we need. And I just, I get goosebumps every time I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all those are great. I mean, thinking about the relationships, again, the Hope Center, the Christmas Eve service, the callback to things that we didn't get to do last year, like Fall Fest and, mm-hmm. and things like that, or youth outings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's they're all highlights, you know? Mm-hmm. Anything else other than Hope Center you guys can think of that before we dive into a little bit of Hope Center stuff?
Nothing that hasn't already been said.
Well, Christmas breakfast was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Shout out. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Another new tradition I keep hearing people saying.
Yeah, I think it's a new tradition. We'll wait to see if the people who hosted it and had to cook, if they think that that's a new tradition.
Yeah, and you know, and that's one of the beautiful things of Re3, and I was sitting there thinking, as you were talking about the folks who are doing things individually, mm-hmm. you know, I think God has really created a culture here at Re3 that, as you say it, yeah. If you can dream it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And we allow people to dream their dreams, to see what has God planted in you. And we just rally behind them and just hopefully help them accomplish that. And as silly as it is, this morning's breakfast was just like that. You know, we had two of the men in our church come up to me, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago, and they said, we want to fix breakfast for whoever wants to come on Sunday, the day after Christmas. And I was like, you don't need any help? They're like, no, we got it. And it was just their idea.
Yeah.
And we said, all right, let's do it. And we just kind of threw it out. Mm-hmm. And a fellowship hall was full of people. We had people, families from the Hope Center come and visit, even to have breakfast with us, and our own congregation. And so little things like that to major things, you know, like writing their own book or starting new jobs or new career paths or whatever. I think it's, I love that environment here at Re3 that we just say, man, if you want to do it, and we'll bring everybody with us, you know.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Well, we'll dive into the Hope Center. And for those of you who hadn't know, I'm going to give you a 30,000-foot flyover. When Re3 first started, one of our dreams was what we called at the time mission hubs, that we would find communities, we would go in and plant a missional hub there that would reflect the needs of the community and wherever that may be. And some of them have been temporary. You know, I think like Mexico City, where we think of Pine Ridge, you know, things like that, that we've been able to do some short-term mission hub type things, but nothing really long-term. We found this property 2019, May of 2019. We approached the owners about using it. After several months of negotiations, they decided they just wanted to sell it. Well, they put it up for sale and COVID hit. And so they had a hard time selling it last year, as everybody did with things, not knowing. And that's no fault of theirs, but it was God's timing for us. So we ended up last year at the end of the year, we had done no mission trips. We were doing a mission trip when COVID broke out. So we had not done any since March. We had resources, we had people chomping at the bits to want to serve. So we circled back and pivoted and went back to them and said, can we use it now? And they very graciously said, absolutely. And so we did a trial run for about 6 months. We ran a clothing ministry out of it, a food pantry, just bare bones type stuff, just to see if there was even a need, if people would show up, and people showed up big time. And so, long story short, God worked some things out financially, and we purchased the property in August, at the end of August. And so I like to kind of think, even though we started in March, you know, with the clothing ministry, it really didn't unlock to the community until September 1st. And that's really when we started. But and since March, I asked Sharon, who kind of runs the clothing ministry over there, she keeps up with numbers almost perfectly, you know? And here's what she was able to tell me. We've had, since March, 193 families and over 650 people have come through the Hope Center to get clothes or food or some type of service. And that's significant because we're only open 2 days a week and right now. Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about 8 days a month this place is open, and to have 190 families show up, different families show up in that short amount of days over an 8 month period is pretty amazing. So I don't know how the Hope Center couldn't be number one on our list as far as God giving us something that we can use. And so, you know, that's the nuts and bolts. What were some things about the Hope Center that you guys loved? What's some things we've done over there? What's some things that you've just kind of really been impressed with, God sightings that you've seen happen over at the Hope Center?
Well, I think a few things, and it kind of ties back to like what you were saying, the relationships and the community as like one of my themes for this year, because that's been so important and I think really highlighted after the isolation of the pandemic. But I've just loved all the people that either that are somehow really tangentially or remotely related to Re3 that have been involved. And so it's been really cool. There's some ladies that run a Refit fitness ministry there. And anytime that I put anything up about like needing to collect food or have drop-offs or something, they're always messaging and volunteering and saying that they're willing to help. The church that meets there. I mean, to have another church that not only is using the facility, but they feel so invested in the building and they put so much love into that building. is really amazing. And then I think Lauren, who has the dance school here, like offering some things there, the little library. It's just, I feel like every time we turn around, there's something really cool and amazing that's being offered in that facility. But the highlight for me has been the gift mart that happened there, because I think we were, Mike and I can't even remember, we threw, I mean, not to say you threw things together, but the vision came to us. I mean. We were like, because with the pandemic and everything, I was like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we could offer something at Christmas? And we were talking about this Thanksgiving, right? Or right before Thanksgiving. We have very little time to,
you and
like,
I had talked about it, and we had one or two other people in the church. God had kind of laid on their heart too, and they kind of came to us and said, hey, I had this crazy idea. And we're like, so do we.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things, I think, when you see two or three people that kind of have the same idea that God's laid on their heart, you kind of feel like, oh, I think we better at least try
it. Right.
You know?
And I think thinking about that, and I know a lot of people offer, there's lots of gift marts, there's lots of things offered at Christmas, but you know, a lot of people have transportation issues. Mm-hmm. They may not even know something's available. And the other thing that happened is we had a lot of our families we regularly serve, but word of mouth kind of spread, and we had some people reaching out. Like I'm in some different, like I'm in a group for mom lawyers or something on Facebook, and so, or just local moms, and people would put stuff out there. Like there would be somebody that's like, I'm looking for something, I'm in desperate need for my kids. And I would say, well, we have the Hope Center, or we have this here. And then people would be like, well, I don't live in your county, or I don't, you know, are you sure I can come? And I'm like, yes, you can come. And I think just having that available for people maybe who would have fallen through the cracks otherwise. And then also just like the beauty of it all coming together, like going to shop for the gifts, all the people that donated food and, you know, the clothing, the gifts, and then just the people. I think one of the most beautiful things, and this is not directly related to the gift mart, but just the Hope Center in general, was like I did a birthday fundraiser because I want to offer mental health first aid and things there. I would do a fundraiser, you know, on Facebook for, you know, the gift mart. Just the people from my life that like I haven't spoken to in years that would just pop up and say, I see what you're doing, I believe in what you're doing. And some of them live kind of near this community and some don't. Some are in other states, like people I might have gone to college or law school or high school with that, again, may not have spoken to in 20 years, but they saw something that we were doing and believed in it and decided to make a donation. And it's not even about how much they gave or what they gave, more so than I feel like it's just an affirmation of like, you're doing the right thing. You know, you stepped out in faith, because it was scary to step out during the middle of a pandemic and think about purchasing a building. You know, I mean, I think that's the thing too. Like we see now how it's all turned out, so it's easy to be really excited about it. But when that was happening, it was kind of like, this is a real leap of faith, and that was scary. And I think just getting that affirmation again and again, because people just show up, like you said, with whatever you need, whenever you need it, and they may or may not be a part of this church. And that has been a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. It's just the investment of the community in the Hope Center. So I think it's giving hope not just to the people that we thought we would serve, but I think it's given a lot of hope to those of us who are able to serve as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think obviously it's been really fun to see, you know, cause we couldn't make it to the gift mart, but it's been really fun to see again kind of how it just brings everyone together. You know, we're obviously meeting very basic needs. We're giving food and we're giving clothes. But I mean, I think about the couple of folks from Crossroads, like, and these aren't people who are just like, oh, just let me know when I can show up and I'll put me down for a slot. Like these are people who have taken ownership of the mission of the Hope Center. There's a couple of folks from Crossroads who, like, every time I'm there, they're there, and they just own the food pantry. They know how it's done. Like, okay, we'll send people down. You get the bags ready. They know how it works, you know, or you know, the food line on North Main Street that we're having to tell them, like, we can't take any more food, you know, which is an incredible problem to have. Mm-hmm. You know, those are not the problems we thought we'd be having when we first thought we'd be doing this, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and even, you know, one of the times I was thinking about how someone came in and asked for a need, and we didn't have it, and the need was provided while they were there, was Wendy and I were serving, and a lady came in with some kids, and there's a refit class that meets on Saturday mornings, and so the ladies there had done some, like, a Mrs. Pumpkins, you know, food fundraiser, and so that the guy pulled the Mrs. Pumpkins, like, trailer out there and was giving the food away, or fulfilling the orders, and the lady came with her kids and was like, hey, do you happen to have any of those Mrs. Pumpkins? And like, I'm sorry, we didn't, and all the ones that are on the trailer, like, couldn't be purchased. They'd already been purchased. And so she was still there doing some shopping, and some of the ladies from the refit class came in and said, hey, we bought these pies for you guys to give to you. And so we were able to give, you know, that mom and some of her kids some of those pies. And but those refit ladies, like, thought ahead enough. They wanted to buy some pies for us to give away, you know? And so just seeing how this has really just catalyzed the community and given the community something to be drawn to during COVID and during, you know, such a chaotic time in our community has just been so fun and so healing to watch. And know, like, we were just obedient. Like, we just bought a building. I mean, that's literally pretty much all we did. Like, we bought a building and people have just flock to be a part of it.
I think what's so beautiful too is just seeing, like, the heart of the Father.
Yeah.
And how he's never, like, scraping by, you know, that's not how he is. He's always got more than enough. And so just with the Hope Center, there's like too much food at times. There's too much clothes at times. There's too many toys at times. But that's just like who the Lord is and how he, like, his eye is on us and that he sees the needs and his heart is to meet it. And I think just the Hope Center is such a beautiful way to see, like, Papa's heart towards us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of the things that unexpectedly that I have found very rewarding in this spiritually and just physically is, you know, there's tragedy happens. Mm-hmm. And we'll give an example. You know, there's been times in the past when maybe a home close to our church has caught fire and a family has lost everything, you know, and then word gets to us and we're scraping up funds and we're trying to do what we can to help. Well, there's been a couple fires and people displaced because of home fires since we've had the Hope Center just in the last month. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten phone calls from people and they're like, is there anything you guys have? And to be able to say, we'll open it up, tell that family to come pick anything they want as much as they want. And to know that we have truly an unlimited number of clothes. Mm-hmm. We have an unlimited amount of food.
Yeah.
You tell that family to come get whatever they need, whenever they need it. To have that ability is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to say, if you have a need, we don't even have to hesitate. Like, we're there unlocking it. You come in, you take what you need.
Yeah.
And that's an incredible resource for our community to have. And the folks that... not just the folks in need, the folks around our community that see that have poured into that. We had, last week alone, we had three different donations, two from various communities here in Kernersville, one from a company here in Kernersville that all did food collection. And those three food collections that came in quadrupled, and I'm saying that correctly, quadrupled the amount of food that we had in the food pantry. And we already had a nice amount.
Yeah.
And so Food Lion, who is incredibly charitable, the local grocery store, they have these meal boxes that customers can buy for like $5. And then Food Lion gets those out to food pantries. They donated over 600 to our food pantry. And so that's not even included in the food I just said that was quadrupled. So we quadrupled the amount of food on the shelves. And we have 600 boxes of meals that we can give away. Because people in the community see this as a God thing, as a way to pour into. And that's just blown me away. And from churches.
And don't forget the schools. Like, we've had the schools too,
that have
done drives and little kids that have done things for their birthdays things.
I mean, the stories could go, like I said, we could spend an hour talking about it. We have little girls that are connected to the church through a dance class that meets here that for their birthdays did toy collection and food collection. for their birthday parties. These are like elementary school girls.
Yeah.
And donated to the food pantry and our clothing ministry. We had Atkins High School did a drive for hygiene products. And, you know, we were able to fill the shelves full of hygiene products because a local high school decided that's what they wanted to give. And to your point, the day of the gift mark, we're giving out toys. A gentleman, a homeless gentleman who's traveling walking from Atlanta to Pennsylvania, just happened to be walking past the Hope Center, saw that we were there, walked in to see what it was able to get clothes and refill his backpack full of toiletries because we had those items there. And just an incredible way that God keeps bringing people to us. He gives us more than enough than we can ever give away, and he brings the people there to be able to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think one of the most important things too that Hope Center is given besides all the hope, but is like giving people and us purpose again. And so I think that's been the other thing is it's been really exciting because there's just so much during the pandemic that you were kind of like, what is, you know, I walk downstairs, I sit at the same desk, I do the same thing every day by myself, you know, the kids, that was their routine, everybody. And so we've had been able to have all ages, you know, from like the smallest children to like the most elderly people who can help do things at the Hope Center. There's a job that anybody can do. But I think also one of the most exciting things has been for all of us to dream again and to talk about like, what would we want to see happen and to just really cast vision and think about hope for the future and what could happen and how we could serve our community. And that's been really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a blank canvas again.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to tell folks, here's this missional community center. What do you want to do out of it? Well, we want to do refit fitness classes 3 times a week. All right, do it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to start a little counseling ministry. Do it. Clothing closet, food pantry, do it. Gift mart, the harvest boxes. You know, we fed 42 families Thanksgiving dinner this year through that. I mean, Gail with the library she set up outside, you know, for people to come exchange books and take. Just what if you want to do it, man, let's do it. And, you know, I think God's blessing and rewarding that.
And I would even say, you know, something I was thinking about from what you were saying, Beth, is, you know, I remember my first Saturday I helped at the Hope Center was back in the spring. And obviously up to that point, you know, that was almost a year to when COVID started. And I hadn't even thought about, you know, the fact that, you know, we really haven't been able to do much serving, do much outreach. And I remember the feeling, you know, I went and I spoke to the families that came and helped out. And I helped for 2 or 3 hours. And on the drive home, the best way I could explain is it almost felt like a soul detox, you know, like, and so I would say if you're watching this, like, you know, yes, serve for the people that you're serving, but serve for yourself. I mean, it really just, you know, I had forgotten how important serving is because we hadn't been able to, and we hadn't had that outlet, but it, you know, it really, man, it just felt so good just to be out there serving again and loving people again and talking to people again.
Yeah. COVID made us think because we were isolated, the world revolved around us.
Yeah.
And we go and serve at places like the Hope Center or wherever it is that you may serve in your town.
Yeah.
It takes the focus off of you and puts it on others. And you're right. It is that detox of selfishness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's other people who might have bigger needs than I have.
Right. Like, you know? Like there's bigger problems out there than my problems.
Yes, exactly.
yeah, for sure. That's a great way to put it, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I think just remembering too, like just seeing how many people not focusing on all that ickiness, like you just see the people who are giving of their time or their money or their skills. And like, but even too, I think even the people you serve with, like seeing for them, I mean, there's still so much loneliness out there, you know, and still so much sadness. And so I think that's the other thing is just being able to have a place where for some people, it like, again, it gives them purpose. Like for some of our people who are serving, it gives them a reason, something to go to, something to connect with people, a reason to get up in the morning and do things. And I think that's a pretty amazing, important thing for all of us. It's just that connection.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Any other final thoughts? We good? We're right on time,
I know,
I guess.
Pretty good.
This was a pretty full year. Makes me wonder what's up for next year. I think it's gonna be really rich.
Yes, yeah,
I agree.
I agree too.
Well, Well, thank you so much to everyone who tuned in this morning, or maybe you're going to listen later online on one of our podcasts or watch it later. Thank you for all that have contributed to Project Re3, contributed to the Hope Center, contributed to Project Re3, the church. I'm looking forward to next year. I think next year is going to be, you know, even bigger than this year. Mm-hmm. And we've got some cool things planned for the Hope Center. We got our youth mission trip again coming up. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing that. Hopefully we'll get back to some places like Jamaica again and start kind of getting back on that horse and taking off on that again. But thank you so much to everyone that has made Project Re3 what it is. It couldn't have been done without truly the faithfulness of you guys and people just seeing the vision of what God started here. And thank you. It's amazing doing ministry with all of you, you know, with my amazing wife. You know, Re3 wouldn't be here without her. And I believe that. And I think everyone recognizes that. And, you know, her ability to let me play ministry, you know, play pastor. And to have absolutely my best friend serve alongside of me. And Wendy, how close you are to all of us. And just an amazing couple. It makes ministry fun when you get to do it with the people you love. And I really appreciate that. So,
and Hank.
We love you, Hank. Y'all can't see him. Hank, should I make you come up here?
Mr. Wizard.
Do you want to give a speech, Hank?
Our man, Hank, who is here all the time, back on the soundboard, running things. He does a great job every single Sunday. He does things like this, Christmas Eve service, whatever. Thank you so much, Hank. Hank is an amazing person. And again, we couldn't do what we do, especially like this, without him. So thank you, Hank.
That's that detoxing
serving. So. He is detoxing. That's right, by serving. Awesome. Well, guys, have an incredible rest of your 2021. Yeah. We look forward to
Happy New Year.
2022 will look like next Sunday, right back here, 10:30, kicking off our first service of 2022. Mm-hmm. You're preaching, right?
Brand new sermon series. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
Or you'll be behind.
That's right. Thanks a lot, and y'all have a great day and week, and we'll see you back next Sunday.